Erin sat up front while her beautiful, scantily clad sorority sisters loaded up the back seat. Off we went to a Halloween frat party in what is affectionately deemed the fort. The girls were raucous, laughing, gabby, and cutting loose. In the midst of this, Erin forcefully belched. A distinct odor of garlic and wine filled the space between us. No one else in the car seemed to notice or care, and the gabfest continued unabated. However, rather than ignoring this, I turned to her with a quizzical look on my face. Erin was chatting away to her friends in the back seat, seemingly oblivious to the fact that she just loudly burped in the presence of a stranger. When she noticed my perplexed look, she responded with a twinkle in her eye. "Oh, excuse me," then emitted a new, louder, longer, rumbling belch.
"Ha ha ha!"
The girls erupted in laughter. Next, Erin turned to me holding a cord in her hand, asking, "Do you have an aux?" I pled ignorance. What's an aux? But we finally figured out I could not accommodate her request. My car didn't have the outlet for an aux. In response, Erin asked derisively, "OMG, how long have you been Ubering anyway?" So in an effort to appease her, I offered her my Sirius XM radio as an alternative. Erin immediately reached for the dials and noted where I had it set.
"Ew, Fox News, just like my dad, yuck."
Erin kept flipping, finally settling on the specialty Pitbull station. Pitbull's Don't Stop the Party blasted out. Erin turned the volume up to jet engine decibel levels. Shaking to the music, she and all the gals lowered the windows as we rode up the strip, hurling greetings and profanities at the sidewalk crowds lining the construction-scarred street. Rather than feeling like Pitbull strutting proud with a bevy of beauties, I felt more like an aging, hopelessly unhip grandpa. I grasped the steering wheel firmly with both hands and grimaced as we slowly moved forward in the heavy traffic. What comforted me was knowing the trip would be a short one. The girls would soon be out and on their way. Erin turned to me, sensing my unease, and asked,
"You don't normally drive this late, do you?"
I had to read her lips since Pitbull was pounding my eardrums. "Well, no, is it that obvious?" I smiled. She giggled and returned to her seat dancing and trash-talking out the window. A moment later, with a lot of lip-reading effort, she again communicated with me, saying she thought I'd picked her up before. I assured her I had not. I was just past being a virgin Uber driver. I would have remembered her. Nevertheless, Erin insisted and began taking headshots of me with her iPhone. To say the least, that was a bit unnerving, but I grinned like a Cheshire cat. When we arrived at the party, the streets were littered with discarded red Solo cups, and the front yard of the party home was filled with dozens of beautiful co-eds in their little black dresses, LBDs or similar apparel. I imagine the house was full of them as well. As the girls exited the car, I strained to see any young men in this sea of femininity. I finally saw a couple, but still, the sparsity of young men was mystifying. Why so many women and so few men? It was only after several rides later over the next week with other female university students that the mystery was solved. During these rides, I would casually raise the subject and express my perplexity. One by one, the ladies demystified the mystery for me. UT male fraternities are banned from hosting alcohol-drenched parties on campus, so to bypass this restriction, certain individual fraternity brothers would rent a second home off-campus expressly for the purpose of getting around this ban. Only girls were invited, with a promise of endless fraternal bliss and happiness, and of course, free booze. Surprisingly, this invitation is successful time after time and typically results in dozens upon dozens of beautiful women showing up to party. The idea is for fraternity brothers to be overwhelmed with female potential. But, I asked, what about male party crashers? After all, there are a lot more women than men at the party I saw. As it turns out, the job of the pledges, those who are working to join the fraternity in the future, is to scout the party grounds, identify the interlopers, and toss them out. After all, this is a private fraternity party and no other men are welcomed. I suppose if a pledge refuses to be a party bouncer, his future fraternity membership may be at risk. So, I'm sure they get pretty enthusiastic in their policing duties. I did accomplish something significant. I made it to 1 a.m. After that, I enthusiastically whipped my car southward toward home and bolted. I'm 40 years past besotted Halloween parties, pretty girls or not.